lift your head, we'll be sinner. The river's just a
And we're back. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. I've been gone for a week. Last week, I had a meeting in Nashville with the governor and Representative Jason Zachary. So Luann and Bob filled in for the show, and they did that right from my office, and that went well. And then, but I'm back this week with Snowden in D.C., and I'm going to talk about that here in a second. With Snowden there for a few days. But now finally back in Knoxville, and certainly glad to be. So the way this show works, every single week we sit here and we talk about life issues, pro-life issues. We talk about Hope Resource Center. We talk about legislation that's going on around the country. But today what I want to do is I want to touch on the March for Life and what happened in D.C., the Evangelicals for Life conference that I attended last week. And then I want to discuss the unthinkable. So as we talk about abortion, we want to talk about making abortion unthinkable in a civilized society. So I'm going to touch on that, and then I want to get into the latest news regarding the Center for Medical Progress and Planned Parenthood and what we found out in Texas. And so we're going to talk about that, kind of dive into that and see what that means for the life movement, what that means for the Center for Medical Progress, and ultimately what that means for Planned Parenthood. And then what I want to do is end the show today by talking about Battle of the Bottles 2.0. We have two new partners that are going to be helping us and working with us to raise money for hope and to raise money for life. And we're doing, as many of you know, we do Battle of the Bottles with Grace and CAK. And now we have Temple Christian Academy, and First Baptist Academy, both in Powell. Are doing a Battle of the Bottles, and that's coming up next week. So I'm going to talk about that as well. But first, let's get into Washington, D.C., the March for Life, where I was at last week. So I went, I was supposed to take three members of my staff with me, and then we were about to leave, and I could sense a little bit of hesitancy in them going because they were nervous about the snow. And so I ended up going by myself. I drove to Washington, D.C., I left Wednesday morning in the middle of snow at our house and in Knoxville, and then it really snowed on me all the way to Virginia, and then I finally got out of the storm and got to D.C. So when I arrived in Washington, D.C., the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, as partners, they're part of the Southern Baptist Convention, were putting on a conference called Evangelicals for Life. So a couple weeks ago, I interviewed and talked with Jill Wagner, who works for the press office of the ERLC. And so I went up there Wednesday, and I kind of wore two different hats for the conference. I was attending as a evangelical and attending as an executive director of a pregnancy clinic, but also was attending as press. So what I did is I when I first got there, I was interviewed by the ERLC and talked about hope and talked about the lives that we're impacting and how you love moms and dads and family and celebrate life all through that. So was able to do that. And then also I had an opportunity to sit down with Dr. Russell Moore, who is the president of the ERLC. And then I sat down with John Stonestreet, who is the president of the Chuck Colson Christian Worldview Center. So a great opportunity to talk with them. If you want to hear those interviews, you can go to our website, investinghope.com, and you can look up our podcast. I put that on our website so you can hear. It's also on iTunes, and you can hear my conversation with Dr. Moore and John Stonestreet as just two Christian leaders and two pro-life leaders. So it was a great opportunity to sit down with them. So many things happened last week as we were going up there, and I could spend a great deal of time discussing every bit of it, but I think what I need to do is, because I have a short amount of time, is to talk about the things that kind of stuck out, the impacts that were made. So as I was at the Evangelicals for Life conference in the hotel there in D.C., we heard from Sam Rodriguez, who is pastor and president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, and he's a pastor of a church out in California. This conference that he is the president of is the largest Hispanic Christian organization. And man, his heart was on display and a great communicator and really articulated the pro-life stance within the Hispanic community in a great way. And one of the things that he said that really stuck out to me isn't necessarily politically correct, but it is something as an evangelical that that sees a need to get engaged and get involved in the political world, I think his statement really hit the nail on the head where he said, "I have a problem when we advocate life on Sunday, but our voting pattern doesn't match it." And then he said this, "We cannot be pro-life on Sunday and vote for abortion on Tuesday." Now that's a big deal. That means that, you know, some people say, well, you can't be a one-issue voter. Well, maybe if you stand for life, that should be the issue that drives you. And that's what he was saying. And he was also saying that the polls and the narrative that is out there is saying that Hispanics are not pro-life. And he said that is not true. The people that he's working with, the communities that he's in, he sees clearly that Hispanics are pro-life. They stand for life. And it really was encouraging to hear from him. He also pointed out that abortion clinics are targeting minority areas. He said, his words were, "This is racism on steroids," which was interesting coming from a Hispanic. So great opportunity to hear from him. And we have to, as believers and as people that celebrate life, we have to get engaged. Life is not a political issue alone, but much can be done through the political arena. So we have to look at that and say, okay, how can I impact the culture around me? How can I impact the society around me? And how can I impact the politics around me? We must be engaged. And so the conference I attended dealt with life, with the life issue as a whole. So their whole theme was whole life, pro-life. So we're not, and we've been preaching this at Hope for years, we're not just pro-baby. We are certainly pro-baby, and we love babies. But we're also pro-woman and pro-man and pro-family. So how are we to be pro-life for the whole life? And that's what we do. And so we care deeply about moms, dads, and of course the family. So I'm really proud of the ERLC for putting that conference together. Some people didn't show up because of the threat of the winter weather, but what a great opportunity to get together and stand as evangelicals. And we also discussed adoption. Again, this is the whole life, pro-life. So if we're going to be pro-life, we have to talk about adoption. That is certainly one of the options. When you find out you're pregnant, you have three options in front of you. The first being you can parent. Second, you could place your child up for adoption. Or third, you can terminate the pregnancy. And as we say, regardless of the decision that you make, all three of those will change your life forever. But listen to this stat. 100,000 kids are on a waiting list in foster care. That means 100,000 people, 100,000 children are waiting for their forever home in America. Okay? Now listen to this number. There are 350,000 churches in the U.S. So Focus on the Family was also part of this conference, and their whole focus was, if just one out of every three churches would adopt a child. Now listen to that. If one out of every three churches adopted a child, there would be no kids waiting for their forever home. I mean, those numbers are staggering, and we could take that 100,000 number, we could take that to zero just by doing what we've been called to do as a church and loving the widows and the orphans. So this is a great opportunity, and it was really convicting for me. I mean, we have three kids of our own, but my wife and I have talked about adoption and what that looks like for our family down the road. But these are things that we need to be thinking about. If we look around us and we see a need and we see 100,000 children out there that are looking for a forever home, why couldn't your home be that for them? So a great opportunity and really just some things to think about as I walked away, convicted on my stance on a lot of things. And all of that, the conference led into the march, which was on Friday. This is the first time. Now, evangelicals have gone to the march in the past, but this is the first time that in conjunction with the march, the evangelicals put on a conference in conjunction with the march. So it was a great opportunity. The president of the March for Life came and spoke to us right before we all got together to go march. So we walk out there, and We met at the Washington Monument, and I looked around, and I knew immediately there were thousands of people, not just a handful, not just hundreds, but thousands and thousands of people standing and ready to march. And we heard from Carly Fiorina, we heard from a congresswoman, we heard from a number of people. And it was amazing to see Dr. Moore of the ERLC and Jim Daly, Focus on the Family, standing on stage, holding hands with the March for Life organizers as Catholics and evangelicals coming together and saying, we are standing for life. We are standing to see a change made. So as the, one thing that I kept looking at is as the bullseye of the storm was there in D.C. in the winter storm, we were also, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, but we were also at the bullseye of where all the storm happens politically, right there in Washington, D.C. So we lined up at the Washington Monument, or didn't really line up. We kind of all huddled together at the Washington Monument. We heard from some people, and then as I was sitting there, I saw a man, and I thought, that man looks familiar. And sure enough, it was Kelsey Grammer, Frazier, and so I walked up to him. I told him who I was, where I was from, and he thanked me for what we do at Hope and took a picture with him. And just amazing to see a Hollywood person who was pro-life, not just with words, but actually putting actions and going out and marching with us. And so another amazing thing that I saw was the amount of young people that were there for the march. So young people, middle-aged people, old people, Christian, non-Christian, all standing in one voice for those with no voice. That's what the March for Life is about. And really, it was tens of thousands of people. You've read some reports, maybe, if you are into the news, you've read some reports that said hundreds of people or very low thousands. I mean, it was a lot of people there. I can assure you I was there, and it was a ton of people. And it was really cold. And the funny thing is, it didn't snow. And then as soon as we started marching, as soon as we took our first step for the march, the snow started coming down. And it didn't stop until late Saturday night. So Friday, I'm marching, and it's snowing, and it's sticking everywhere. I couldn't feel my toes. And I'm just looking around at all these people coming together to stand for life. And it truly is a beautiful picture of love. And I was blessed to be a part of it. And the great thing about it was we were civil. We weren't bitter. We weren't hateful. But as we got close to ending the march, we came up on some protesters. And you know, one would say they were pro-choice. And I hesitate to say anyone's pro-abortion, but this group of people were certainly pro-abortion. And they were yelling at us, and they were screaming at us, and they were saying things like, abortion on demand without apology. And they were wearing clothes with blood splattered on it. And I immediately looked at that picture, and I thought, now who are the extremists here? Who are the crazy nut jobs here? It certainly wasn't our side. I mean, we were made up of people from all walks of life, men, women, boys, girls. And so I saw that, and I just immediately thought, man, I'm so glad to be part of a movement that is full of love, full of care, and doing this civilly and not out of hate and bitterness like the other side. What a great opportunity it was to stand with so many and to march for life. When we get back, we're going to talk about the unthinkable.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling, tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Quite stylish. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged.
That's right, and straight from Frazier.
But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
You know, and I feel like me and him are friends now, since we took a picture together, and we talked for about 5 seconds. Me and him are really
It is on
friends.
Facebook, so,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, it's big. It's big. Was delighted to meet Kelsey Grammer. He's an amazing actor. There's a number of things that he's been in, but Frazier, of course, is what for whatever reason what I've always known him as. But yeah, great actor and certainly a great pro-life advocate. What I want to do now is talk about abortion and the unthinkable in terms of what our true goal is. So this past week, I was in Washington, as I just talked about, with tens of thousands of people to march for life. We braved the winter storm to show the world that life has value. In the middle of the bullseye of the storm, we marched in the nation's capital, the bullseye of the political storm. the irony of this is not lost on me. I was delighted to march alongside so many for a cause so just. The pro-life abortion debate is the debate that will define my generation. It is this debate, more so than many, which deserves time and effort. We, the pro-life supporters, must engage and be active in our communities. We must step out and boldly step into the fray, and we must seek to change the mindset on life. This has to occur at a cultural level before it can occur at a legislative level. Now, what do I mean here? Our goal is not simply for abortion to be illegal in this country. Our goal is for abortion to be unthinkable in a civilized society. It should not be lost on us that abortion is legal and accepted as a legitimate birth control option for many. This isn't just true at the main street level with citizens, but it's also true of many political leaders of our day. This is a disturbing reality. We are the greatest country this world has ever seen, yet we sit idly by while 1 million babies are aborted every single year. Our country is founded on a certain set of values. Values not given by man, but by a creator. Values that should hold a certain level of value in our own lives. The United States of America is the greatest idea this world has ever seen. An idea that has been tested and tried and continues to set the standard for the entire globe. We hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men are created equal. That they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These words are a gift to us. These words are a blessing to the men and women of this country. I love these words. I love the hearts of our founders. Founders that believed in a creator. Founders that believed everyone had a value and worth. This is a great idea and ideal, but it is one that needs defining. Do these truths and unalienable rights pertain to the unborn? Are they strong enough to penetrate the womb? Do they reach the side streets of America? Would Planned Parenthood dare to hang the Declaration of Independence in their lobby? These are the questions we should be thinking about. These are the questions that must be answered if we want to see a trajectory change in our society. I hold a great deal of respect for this document and our founding, but I'm afraid we have drifted off course. I'm afraid that the founders are turning in their graves while we make a mockery of their idea. A mockery that has the greatest country in the world falling in line with places like North Korea, China, Canada, Netherlands, Singapore, in Vietnam, as we allow elective abortions past 20 weeks. Look at the company we are keeping. We like to tout the freedom and liberty of this country, yet we refuse that freedom and liberty to 1 million people every single year. 1 million little boys and girls. Is this where we want to be? A world with siblings that have no siblings, mothers that have no kids, grandmothers that have no grandchildren, and uncles that have no nephews? Now that sounds harsh, but this is where we find ourselves. A country and a society that sees very little value in life. This is where you come in. We, the collective, must seek to change the narrative. Pregnancy is not a punishment or a disease that can be eradicated. Pregnancy is a blessing that produces life. A life that deserves the unalienable rights mentioned earlier. A life that deserves a chance to make a difference and an impact on society. After all, pregnancy is why you are here. The way you were conceived doesn't define you. You were given an opportunity to live and impact the world around you. You were given the opportunity to form your own opinions and chart your own course. Does not every baby deserve this opportunity? While marching on January 22nd, I heard a chant that went something like this. Hey, Obama, your mama chose life. Now, I realize that on the surface, this chant may be crass or a bit strange, but this chant has some truth. President Obama's mother did choose life and gave him the opportunity to chart his own course and ultimately become president of the greatest country in the world. Life has value. This should be an understood truth similar to that of gravity. This must be the case if we are truly to ever see a change in policy and thought. When the thinkable becomes unthinkable in a civilized society, the legislative process tends to mirror that. This happened with slavery, women's suffrage, and civil rights. This will happen with life as well if we, the pro-life movement, stand together in one voice calling for change. Will you join us? So that's the goal here. You know, I talk a lot about politics, and I'm very in tune with what's going on politically around this country and around the state. But we don't make a true change politically until we make a true change in our culture and society. If you think back to all the major shifts that we've seen, What first happened was a change in mindset, a change in the narrative, and a change in culture. Just like I said, slavery, what happened? Society started to say, hey, this isn't okay. Women's suffrage. Society started to say, women should have a right to vote. The civil rights movement. Society started to say, African Americans should be able to drink out of the same water fountain and eat at the same restaurants and ride and sit wherever they want to on the bus, and the list goes on and on. Society and culture started that, and then legislatively we saw a change. So in terms of life, we have to change the narrative. We have to, as a society and as a culture, we have to start sitting down and having civil discussions about life issues. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, but that's what we tried to do in 2015 with the videos that exposed Planned Parenthood. The whole goal was to start discussions and say, is it okay for aborted baby parts to be harvested and sold? Is that okay or not? Is that something we should accept? Should the greatest country on the face of this earth be in line with North Korea on anything? That's a question that deserves an answer. Because we like to talk about North Korea and say a lot of terrible things about them. But in those conversations, why are we not then going, well, why do we line up with them and have the same views in terms of life and allowing abortion after 20 weeks? And I asked them, I said, how many here used to be a baby? You know what? A crazy thing, all of them raised their hand. I could ask the same question to the listeners of the show. Excuse me. How many used to be a baby? Regardless if you're 90 years old or 2 years old, everyone used to be a baby. And so I looked at those high schoolers and I said, now think about this. 15 years ago, you were inside of your mom. You were inside of a womb. Now think about this, 15 years ago and 6 months. So 15 years and 6 months ago, our society says it's completely okay if we get rid of you. So your value is determined by your size. Your value is determined by a couple days, a couple hours. That is the message that the world is sending. So what we have to do is hear that message. Instead of meeting that message with hate and anger, we begin dialogue. Chuck Colson used to say, it's over the backyard fence. So what that means is you're looking at your neighbors and you're having conversations with your neighbors about these things. You're having conversations about this at church, in life group, in small group, in house group, in whatever other group you have at church. Because we will not make a change legislatively until we make a heart and mind change in our culture. That's why it's so important for Christians to be engaged. We have not been called to disengage. Now is the time. Principles over politics. We have to be there. Because I'm telling you, what we have in society right now is we have a lot of angry people that are making decisions founded in anger and rooted in anger. And when you make decisions rooted in anger, it always goes bad. I mean, we just had one of the evangelical leaders come out and endorse a man that just 6 months ago, and pretty much his entire life has been pro-choice, and not just pro-choice, but even okay with partial birth abortion. That should concern us. But what that tells me is even evangelicals are angry and upset. And that is not where we should be making our decisions. So the goal, again, is is not simply that abortion would be illegal. The goal is to make abortion unthinkable in a civilized society. We live in the greatest country on earth. Even with all the anger and frustration I have with D.C., and with politics, it's still the greatest country on earth. You can be anything you want to be. Anything. You can be born from and grow up in a terrible upbringing and a terrible environment. But the amazing thing is that environment doesn't define you. And everyone that has ears to hear what I'm saying, everyone that's hearing this show, everyone that that hears every single debate, the folks that were screaming abortion on demand without apology in Washington, D.C. and yelling at all of us pro-lifers, we all have one thing in common. Every single one of us were given an opportunity to have life and chart our own course. So as I can be frustrated and angry at those pro-abortion protesters, but I can look at them and say, you know what, you were made in God's image, and you were granted life to chart your own course. And now you're trying to take that right away from the unborn. So what we have to do as a society, not just Christians, but non-Christians alike, we have to come out and start having actual dialogue on these things and on life, because life has value and it's important. It's important that we stand together. That was why that was such a great picture of seeing Dr. Moore standing hand in hand with Catholics in Washington, D.C., because what they were saying was there may be some things we disagree with on theology, but we stand firm that God created life and we are image bearers, and we're going to stand for the rights of the unborn. We're going to stand for moms and dads and families. And so what a great opportunity that is for us to do the same thing, to take their lead and engage the culture and make what is now thinkable in abortion, make it unthinkable in our society, the greatest society this earth has ever seen. We'll be back.
You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
And we're back. This is Andrew Wood with Hope Resource Center. So glad that you're tuning in today. We've covered a lot of ground in just about 40 minutes as I recapped the March for Life where I was at in Washington, D.C. And then the last segment, we kind of got deep into the goal ultimately is to not just make abortion illegal, but to make it unthinkable in a civilized society. So right now what I want to do is shift gears and talk about the Center for Medical Progress and the work that they did in 2015 to try to expose Planned Parenthood and some of the things that they're doing, kind of pull back the curtain, so to say, on the abortion industry. So the director of Center for Medical Progress actually was at the conference I was attending this past week. He's just 27 years old. Folks, that's the change that we're having in the narrative. That's the people that are standing firm for life, young people, millennials. He's 27. And he is facing an uphill climb, a legal battle that's going to get nasty, but one that I think will ultimately expose a lot of truths that need to come out. And so one thing that I want to point out, as we talk about Planned Parenthood, think about it for a second. They have the support of the elite, the cultural elite, the media elite, and the political elite. That should concern us just from the onset. I mean, normally that is a negative. If somebody were to say that about you, you would go, well, that's a negative connotation. So think about that. And also what I want to touch on is if you look back to the history of the donating of bodies for science, you know, back in the day, that wasn't a normal thing. It wasn't something that was discussed, but people wanted, you know, they wanted to do research on bodies, but they didn't really know how was the best way to do it. So what they did was they first targeted criminals. And so they just went into criminals and they were like, well, nobody's going to argue with us. We'll just take their bodies. Then they went after grave robbers. Then they went after the poor because the poor couldn't fight it financially. And now they're going after babies. So that's where we're at as a society. At some point, we said, you know, it's not okay for you to do that to criminals and take advantage of them. It's not okay for you to do that to grave robbers. It's not okay for you to take advantage and prey on the poor. And now where we need to be is it's not okay for you to do that to babies. And also, not to mention the underhandedness of going after the moms that aren't really sure what's going on, but telling them things like, well, if you let us do this, then your aborted baby will save lives, or whatever, you know, they were telling these moms. But one thing I want to point out, months after the release of undercover videos detailing Planned Parenthood's scheme to traffic aborted baby body parts, a grand jury has finally brought criminal charges. So you read that and you think, oh, they brought criminal charges against Planned Parenthood. No, not against Planned Parenthood, but against David DeLayden, the pro-life activist behind the undercover sting videos. So they watched all that happen, and they brought an indictment on the man that uncovered all of it. According to a press release from the Office of Harris County District Attorney's Office, which was provided to the Federalist, DeLayden was charged with the purchase and sale of human organs. Now, think about that. So, DeLayden was charged. Now, hear this. He was charged with the purchase and sale of human organs. Now, I thought Planned Parenthood didn't harvest and sell human organs. So do they or do they not? So he's being charged and indicted for purchasing and selling human organs. Yet Planned Parenthood doesn't sell body parts. Interesting. So let's get back. DeLayden was charged with the purchase and sale of human organs, a misdemeanor, and with tampering with a governmental record, a felony. And what that is they he apparently had a fake ID. And so that is a crime, and that is called tampering with governmental record. Lauren Reeder, here's another thing that's interesting. Lauren Reeder, one of the prosecutors in the Harris County District Attorney's Office, so the ones that were trying to get the indictment, revealed last August that she was a member of the board of directors for the Planned Parenthood affiliate that was targeted by DeLayden. Her LinkedIn page indicates that she's been a Planned Parenthood board member since 2013 and a fundraiser for the abortion provider since 2009. So interesting. So all of this happens, and we see on video that have not been doctored. You know, so many people are saying these videos were doctored. They were fabricating stories. The Center for Medical Progress has released every video in its entirety and said, well, then just watch it. Watch all the hours that we filmed and see what you think. And so the crazy thing is they're being targeted and they're being indicted for undercover investigations. Okay. Now, you know who else does undercover investigations? Let's see, CNN, Fox, ABC, 60 Minutes, Primetime News. I mean, you name it, they do undercover investigations. You know, a lot of times media will have sources within organizations that they're getting information from. The First Amendment protects the freedom of press. The First Amendment allows for these types of things. So it's funny to me that the media is not coming out and saying, whoa, 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 this makes it look like we are not going to be able to do our job and uncover criminal acts. And sometimes in order to uncover criminal acts, you have to go undercover. I mean, have you ever seen Catch a Predator? They pose as little boys and girls to catch a predator. That's why it's called that. So they're doing that out of false premise, but they're ultimately doing that to get bad guys off the streets, which is all the Center for Medical Progress was trying to do. So here's what DeLayden had to say. In a statement to Life News, DeLayden said Planned Parenthood has been unable to deny or refute the evidence he and his team collected in the videos that show the abortion company potentially breaking multiple state and federal laws selling aborted baby parts for profit. The Center for Medical Progress uses the same undercover techniques that investigative journalists have used for decades in exercising our First Amendment rights to freedom of speech and of the press, and follows all applicable laws. That's what David DeLayden had to say. So it's interesting to me. That's where we're at as a society. So a grand jury is going now. Now, granted, this doesn't mean that they're guilty. This doesn't mean that they're immediately going to jail or anything like that. And some pro-life people have come out and said, we shouldn't be so angry because nothing's been done yet. They've just been indicted and it's not that big a deal. But here's why it's a big deal. This means a grand jury, now looking at facts that we don't have, looked at everything that was presented to them. And they said, we're going to indict you on purchasing and selling of organs, human organs. Yet we've been fed this narrative this entire time that the abortion giant doesn't harvest or sell human organs. So they either do or they don't. Maybe it's kind of like the mammogram thing. For so long, we were told they did mammograms. And then finally, in a hearing in D.C., we were told under oath, well, we actually don't do mammograms. So it's interesting to me. They looked at all the facts presented to them, and they're pointing their indictment at the one that actually uncovered the stuff that was going on. So this means we need to be praying for the Center for Medical Progress and what he's about to go through. Again, 27-year-old man, he started this investigation 3 years ago, which means he was 24. I mean, think about that. It's just amazing what he's doing, and it's so awesome that he's in essence pulling back the curtain and allowing the world to see what's going on. Now, one thing to note is as these things occur, and Planned Parenthood suing the Center for Medical Progress, as lawsuits occur and things like that, what this means is, when you're sued by someone, because of the court system, you're able to access a lot of their information and their records because you have a right to that information because you're being sued. So there may be a counter suit. So we're probably going to see a lot of interesting stuff in the coming weeks, months, years. But it's, again, this is all part of changing the narrative and changing our culture and our society. So we don't stand by and just go, well, oh, well, he'll be fine. The Center for Medical Progress will be fine. The thing that we need to understand is they are a very, very small organization. And Planned Parenthood is not small. They are the elite. They have the elite supporting them. You know, I said a couple weeks ago, if you combine all the budgets of pro-life clinics, around 3,500 clinics around the country, if you combine our budgets, it's $400 million a year. And Planned Parenthood receives $500 million a year from the federal government. So that tells you where our priorities are in terms of a society and where our priorities are in terms of life and what has value and what doesn't have value. So be praying for the Center for Medical Progress. And David, as they work through this process, because it's going to be an interesting one, pay attention to it, talk to your friends about it, read about it, post about it on social media so that this stays in the news. It has to stay in the news. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Battle of Bottles 2.0, and we're going to talk about the relationship that we now have with Temple and First Baptist Academy. Look forward to doing that here in a sec.
Lost are saved, find their way at the sound of your great name.
And we're back. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you for joining us today. It's been a full show. We talked about March for Life. We talked about making the thinkable unthinkable. We talked about the recent indictment of the leaders of the Center for Medical Progress and the dealings with Planned Parenthood. What I want to do now is talk about the Battle of Bottles 2.0. So Battle of the Bottles is something that we've done for years now with Grace and CAK and a great partnership with those schools. And we've raised over $100,000 since 08 or 09 and just done so much in engaging the culture and engaging young people in this community to say, we need to be standing for life. We need to be doing what we can to make sure life is celebrated. So I'm always looking for new partnerships and reached out and talked with some folks in the community and they wanted to do something similar. So we're partnering with Temple and FBA for a Battle of the Bottles 2.0. So Battle of the Bottles, this one is going to be around a basketball game instead of a football game that we do with Grace and CAK. So today I talked to Temple at their chapel, and I was able to talk to the elementary kids and the high school kids and just walk through what we do at Hope and why we do the Battle of the Bottles. And tomorrow I'll be talking with FBA, and on Friday I'll be talking with FBA just to get them motivated and also to get kids to start thinking about life issue. That's what we have to do. Not to brainwash, not to indoctrinate, but to say life has value and start actually thinking through what that means in our own life, what that means for our society, what that means for our church and our culture. And so that's what we're going to be doing. And the game is next week, February 5th, the basketball game. We're going to announce there how much money was raised, which school raised the most money. So it is a competition in a sense, but all the money goes to do one thing, and that to impact this community and to love on this community. The last couple of days at Hope have been tough. We've had a lot, a lot of times I share some stories of inspiring and encouragement, but let's just be honest. Sometimes there's stories of hurt and brokenness that comes in our doors, and yesterday was one of those days, and today we've had, we just had quite a few abortion-minded folks. We've had some abused people come in the doors. We've had young people come in the doors with major issues, and so as we think about that and pray about that, what we want to do is we get the resources we need to continue to impact the community around us. So we thank you for doing that. We thank you for supporting Hope. We thank Temple and FBA for supporting Hope. And start having those conversations with your kids now. I got a text from my wife while I was in D.C., and she said that something on the radio said something about Washington, D.C., and my little girl, who's two, said, "Washington, D.C., that's where daddy's at. He's there saving babies." Now, obviously, the work was being done here, but we were there marching for life and to celebrate babies. And so we want to start that conversation. My son, who's four, I was talking with him yesterday, and he said, "Why are people not nice to babies? Why we are supposed to love and take care of babies?" And so, that breaks my heart that he is thinking through that now. So those are things that we need to be thinking about in our own hearts, in our own lives. How are we going to have those conversations, not with just our kids, but with our neighbors? And are you prepared to have a conversation with someone that is yelling abortion on demand without apology? Are you prepared to have a conversation with them? Not a hateful one, but a real conversation. I pray that you are. I hope I can help you prepare for that and equip you to do that. We are so grateful for what you do in Standing with Hope. We're grateful for this opportunity to talk life and to celebrate life here every single week. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
Lift your head.